Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you... Two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is my co-founder here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Behnke. I'm coming to you live from the podcast studio in Midtown Manhattan. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we pray the gold package shows up for Sunday's game against the Chargers, but right now it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good, we got
Jaden Reed.
We got the bad, we got
missed tackles.
We got the ugly, we got
the approach at the end of the first half. Man, that was disappointing. That was ugly. Going in, walking into the dressing the what a locker room, two timeouts in your pocket. That's ugly. That's ugly, Banky. I don't like it. But Andy Herman kind of talked me down about it, so I'm not as upset about it anymore. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Doing good, you know. Here we go. Packers better win.
I do know.
Packers need to win this weekend. I'm so sick of watching the Packers and they lose. It's annoying.
No, well, you know, you got it. That's what did we talk about? Recalibration, the mindset. Got to get there, bud. Got to get there.
I'm still optimizing.
Still optimizing.
I haven't fully optimized. That's my problem in life. I haven't fully optimized my normalization.
It can be a problem. It can be a problem. We got this back half of the schedule to hopefully get you there. Not going to talk about the fact that if they don't win this weekend, I think it's going to be a while until they have a chance to even win. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. We don't want to talk like that coming out the gate here at Packer Transplants. That's not how we roll. What we do is we talk about the hotness. Let's get to it. Time for the hotness. That's right. There were a number of plays this week we could have chose to be included or part of or be the hotness, but I had to go with this one, both for the throw and the catch. Let's roll it here. This is in the red zone. Got Reed in motion coming back across. Watch Jordan Love. Perfectly placed ball. Look at toe drag swag from Romeo Doubs in the end zone. And this, from the end zone angle, this throw is absurd. You talk about putting it where only your guy can get it. Look at this throw. Are you kidding me? That's just out. That's, ladies and gentlemen, that is the hotness.
Who predicted that, by the way?
Was that you?
Yeah, I think so. I think I predicted that play call.
Right on watch party. You were right about it. You were fade to Doubs in the end zone, and lo and behold, fade to Doubs in the end zone.
It's a rarity.
Absolutely
love that I'm right, so I just wanted to point that out.
Well, no, you got to do it, man. I hear you. Nothing wrong with trumpeting. Nothing wrong with trumpeting.
You know what that music sounds kind of like is...
What's that?
What is that? Not the Love Boat. What is that?
The Love Boat.
I think. Oh no, not Magnum PI. Charlie's Angels, the TV show.
Charlie's Angels.
When they would go to the breaks between the little transition things, I feel like that's what it sounds like.
I like it. I'm down with it. I mean, it's really a remix of a Barry White song, but you know, done up in such a way that we won't get any penalized for any you know, copyright infringement stuff. But I love that track. It's awesome. But yeah, it's good stuff. It's the hotness. But now we got to talk about Packers news. We got to eat our vegetables, Corey. Quay Walker returns to practice. Not a moment too soon. I loved. I was loving McDuffie for a stretch, but man, his play really fell off against the Steelers. Not a great afternoon for McDuffie. Hopefully, Quay is able to get out there against the Chargers, who have a really, really productive offense. So we're going to need every man we can get. Unfortunately, speaking of which, Jair Alexander still out, not at practice, not practicing. You hate to see it. That shoulder injury, clearly not ready to let him have a go. Who knows? Maybe he returns later in the week, though I tend to doubt it. But it sure doesn't start out great this week for Jair Alexander with another practice missed. And then here's news that I know Corey will be interested in. The Packers have released Innis Gaines, had his three call-ups from the practice squad, then was signed to the 53-man roster for Sunday's game, and then was promptly released.
So, I'm not surprised. Is anyone surprised, by the way?
Thank you, Innis Gaines. No, no one's surprised.
Did you they ever hear Innis Gaines called on. Name called ever? Very rarely.
It was rare. It was rare.
Where is he going, though?
Nowhere now. He's on the street. He's a free agent.
You think anybody will pick him up?
I think possibly if someone suffers an injury and needs help on special teams, they'll probably give him a look. But, you know, I don't think anyone's going to be scrambling to pick him up to play him on defense anytime soon. So thank you, Innis Gaines. We bid you adieu. Thank you for your help. And on the flip side of this, the Packers literally just announced it. It was reported yesterday, but the Packers made it official a little bit before we went live. They have claimed cornerback Caillou Blue Kelly off of waivers from Seattle, a former fifth-round pick of the Baltimore Ravens. He did not make it through training camp with the Ravens and then was claimed off waivers by Seattle, who waived him a couple days ago, and the Packers have claimed him. And I will say, I really like this kid, rookie out of Stanford. He had a really nice Senior Bowl, and that was kind of the last time I even thought about him after the Senior Bowl and then get to the draft. You know, if you're not drafted by the Packers, I don't really care. But he's got talent, and I'm fascinated to see how quickly they can coach him up and get him on the field because, you know, look, they've got a lot of young guys in the secondary. Jair's not back yet. You got Stokes probably, you know, a week or two away yet from even being able to practice. So, hey, we need all the talent we can get in the secondary. And like I said, he's intriguing. So we'll see. We'll see. You got to think, if nothing else, he'll help out on special teams sooner rather than later. And then to take the open spot on the practice squad, Austin Ayeki, whose name I can't pronounce, a linebacker, has been signed to the practice squad. I usually, you know, don't make a whole big deal out of it, but it is a practice squad signing, and I know Corey wants us to be exhaustive when it comes to the practice squad and make sure that everybody's up to date.
Oh, sorry, I was falling asleep because we were talking about who's acting in the practice squad. No one cares.
There it is. There it is.
No one cares. You know, I actually care about the practice squad even less than I normally care about the practice squad when we're losing.
Why
so
is that?
There you go.
When we're losing. Got it. So when we're winning, you tolerate talk about the practice squad.
No.
When we're losing, you truly don't give a shit about the practice squad.
No. It's more like when we're winning, I barely tolerate. And when we're losing, I just get extremely annoyed.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Understandable. Understandable. Let's talk about the offense, shall we? Something you hopefully won't get annoyed about. Because they had a pretty decent day.
They did.
I thought they had a pretty decent day in Pittsburgh.
They did. It's
really
true.
Starting to hit their stride a little bit. I mean, that's still not lights out. Still not putting up 30 points, etc. But still haven't got a quarterback up to 300 yards passing yet. But a decent day from the offense. And I think a big part of it is we talked about Jaden Reed and the good, bad, and the ugly. But Luke Musgrave, too, is becoming a real weapon, becoming a real set of weapons here with Reed and Musgrave, two rookies who are really starting to hit their stride. You hope, I know a lot's been talked about Christian Watson and the frustrations around him. and his maybe lack of production, maybe a lack of connection with Jordan Love. I think all of that will come in time. I'm not out on Christian Watson in any way, shape, or form. I think there's a ton of football ahead of him that is going to be positive for the Green Bay Packers. But I will say, I'm not going to be upset if Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, some of these other receivers start getting more opportunities, more snaps on the field in favor of Christian Watson.
Right yeah, now. I feel like, I mean, Christian Watson is so disappointing right now, but he's also in a sophomore slump, I feel like. Because, like, I was watching some stuff from last year of him playing, right. And it was so exciting. And I just feel like maybe the game's, like, too fast for him right now, and he's just in a sophomore slump. So I feel like, you know, I feel like he's going to come around. But you see this a lot with second-year receivers, especially taking
yes,
high.
Exactly. Yes, 100%. And hell, in Green Bay specifically. Yep. How many guys have we gone through throughout the years who show a bunch of promise their rookie year and then kind of struggle their second year and then come back and have a really nice career? And look, I'm not saying that's automatically going to happen for Christian Watson, but I certainly am not going to be surprised if it does. And I think to your point, Corey, yeah, it's weird. You can't really put your finger on it, right? Because there are certainly moments where you see he is open and Jordan just misses him. Or... Yep. Moments when there's a chance that maybe a 50-50 opportunity where he just comes up short. But I also think that kind of the lack of maybe a rhythm or connection might be because he did miss so much time early in the year. Maybe that robs him of all the other banked reps that all these other guys have, timing, stuff that they've done with Jordan over the season that, you know, he's still trying to find his footing and trying to find his way in an offense that is pretty different than when Aaron Rodgers is under center, where, like you said, he was pretty damn productive once he got healthy. So we'll see. I'm like I said, I'm in no way, shape, or form and close to coming like to the point where I want to be out on Watson. But, man, these other kids, they're starting to produce. They're starting to be really pretty damn reliable. And if you're in the business of trying to win football games, which the Green Bay Packers are, then you got to start giving these kids a lot more opportunities. And I think that
probably
transpires here these next few weeks.
The real place that I feel like he's not excelling is blocking, and that can be said for the whole wide receiver team, but, like, oh, my God, did he miss some blocks last weekend.
Yeah. They're up and down. The whole lot is up and down, right? I mean, hell, we talked about the end of the first half. Romeo Doubs misses that block, which is why they're, you know, lose 5 yards on the first down. So, yeah I'm with you there. I think it's very spotty at best.
Well, and the tight ends, Matt, too. Like, it's not just the wide receivers, guys, but, yeah, the tight ends. Like,
no, that's true.
It's like,
that's true.
Guys,
and that's not to say
tight
that they haven't been
supposed
any.
Supposed to be good at blocking. Yeah. Well, no, that Musgrave had that. Right. Musgrave had on the release on Dorsey Levin's big – Dorsey Levin's, Lord, have mercy on my soul.
The old Dorsey Levin's.
On the old Dorsey Levin's 40-yard run by A.J. Dillon, who's looking like
Dillon,
Dorsey Levin's.
Dorsey Levin's.
I mean, he was looking like him. You know what happens is as soon as A.J. Dillon can really run screens really well, he will look like Dorsey Levin, to be honest with you. But
we still
yeah,
need to get
on
him on
that
damn wheel route. Yeah, 100%.
Dude, that running play, I watched The Rock talk through that running play on Packers.com.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If you have a chance, like, just watch that. It's so great. It's like it's like a power sweep pull play. I love it when you pull two guys, you know, when you have misdirection and
yes.
then you pull two guys. Guys for blocks, and then it's, you know, even though it's a tight end on the run and he actually makes a block, which for the 2023 Green Bay Packers is saying a lot.
It's a rarity.
It's rare, you know. You gotta take your wins when you can get them. But that was a sick play, and I hope we see more of that for
What's
sure.
interesting is they ran kind of a similar action earlier in the game where Runyon gets hit by the off-ball backer and basically it's thrown into Aaron Jones' lap and it blows up the play. But they came back to that action with those two pulling lines, same two pullers, actually, and hit on a great – obviously the big run we saw from AJ. So, yeah, everybody has to step up their game in that regard consistency-wise. Like, you've seen flashes and you've seen moments where they can do it. And Christian's no different. Yeah, he has to get a lot more consistent in that regard. Speaking of the offensive line – man, you know, it's interesting because we spent so much time at this first part of the year talking about how everybody on the offensive line is taking turns messing up, right? It does feel like over the last couple of weeks, it started to solidify. We've seen plenty of plays where they're not only giving Jordan Love time, but they're opening holes and things of that nature. But it does seem like, man, John Runyon Jr. costs this offense like a handful of times every game. And he certainly did. And that was no different in Pittsburgh. And given how good Sean Ryan looked against the Rams when he got his chance, I just wonder how much more they put up with in that regard. I mean, Aaron Jones on that screenplay walks into the end zone if Runyon just gets just a touch on the backer, you know, who ends up making the tackle for no loss, for no gain. You know, you go from touch, what should have been a touchdown, to no gain on the play. It's just, those are frustrating moments.
The only way you replace a player in this offense or defense is by trading the guy in front of him. So now that the trade deadline has passed, I'm not holding my breath.
It's not going to happen. You're not trading Runyon, is that what you're saying?
If we could trade Runyon, then Sean Ryan will play. That's literally how you get a guy to play in this team.
In this town. In this town of yours.
Yeah. This town of coaches, they will stick with the guy no matter what. It's like, hey, you're our starter, and we're not going to try anybody else unless they're injured.
I mean, I don't have a comeback for that, because it, you know, all the evidence would suggest you are correct, sir.
Well, it's funny because, like, this whole season we've given them the benefit of the doubt all season, right? We're like, oh, the coaches know. Right. Okay, well, they're not trying a guy because there's something we don't know about Sean Ryan. And then they put the guy in, and he's better than the guy he replaced in one game. Then they take the guy out, and you're like, wait, bro. Are you seeing the same thing I saw?
Wait, bro.
Bro, he was better. Wait, what happened?
And it's, I know, a small you're not sample to... size. It's a small
I
sample
know,
size.
But I know, but he was better. Like,
15
he was better.
Total plays, 7 plays in the one drive.
But, like, how many whiffed blocks can you accept, right? What is your whiffed?
What is the
whiffed block acceptance
What's
ratio?
What's the whiff threshold?
I have a 7.4% ratio acceptance. Right. You know, because, like, Runyon, oh, my God. It's like Josh Myers. Like, that's, I really want to like Josh Myers, and he had a really good game, actually, and he had two kind of good games. But
I thought he had a good game on Sunday.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks he's had pretty good games. But, you know, it's still Josh Myers. Let's be real. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, it is still Josh Myers. That's the thing. When do we get... So the coordinators, I think, are talking in a few days. When is it? I can't find it. But I would love to ask Steno, like, point blank, what is the threshold? Like, what is a guy, how many blocks does a guy have to miss before you even start to consider benching him? You know, because obviously
Zero.
They arrived at that point with Rasheed Walker when they put Yosh in.
Yeah.
But then Yosh got hurt, and so Rasheed Walker had to go back in. So apparently there's got to be some kind of threshold.
I feel like Rasheed Walker has more upside than Runyon, though. But what do I know?
Oh, I agree. Well, he's younger. He's in his second year. He's barely played. I agree there. And guess what? Rasheed Walker played a pretty damn good game on Sunday. I was shocked how well he played, especially in that environment against a really good outside pass rusher where it's loud as hell. You've got to kind of peek inside the entire game when it comes to passing downs, right? Just because you can't hear the snap count, etc. I thought... Yeah, he played really well against some top-flight competition on the road. That's promising, man. That is some promising stuff from Walker. I'm not saying he's arrived or anything, but it was good. It was a good showing from him.
Oh, boy.
What you got?
No, it's good. It's good. I'm good. You can hear
everything,
me?
Things breaking
good,
over there?
You can hear me?
Everything all right?
Yeah, all of a sudden
I got
audio
you.
Went out, but I think it's just my little – it was an air gap. So the one thing I wanted to say is – I wonder, okay, I don't want to get too ahead of myself here, but you wonder if in the last 2 weeks we've started to see a little bit of gelling by the offensive line, just a little. And I wonder that's why they keep running in over Ryan, right? Because they're just like, we need a gelling to take
place.
We're
finally, Corey, I think there's something to that. I think you might be onto something there, right? Because you've waited all year, right? You've waited through all of the mistakes and all of the fire drills, and now finally you're starting to see some cohesion. They're probably sitting there going, well, why would we mess with this now?
Yeah, and it's almost like we think you can just plug in a guy, but it's actually like, you know, as we know, right, with the offensive line, it's like five guys that really got to work together well. So you almost are like, well, if I can get some gelling together, then maybe, you know, Runyon isn't as good as Sean Ryan, but Sean Ryan doesn't have the gel aspect. So, you know, there's got to be some of that that probably plays in. And also, like, the exciting part is
that's a good point.
You know, Rasheed Walker having a good game like that, you kind of hope, like, okay, here's something we can hang our hat on. Here's the feeling you need to have. Here's what you need to go into the game with. Here's what that all is, right? And, you know, I feel like, you know, in the past, like we've taken for granted our offensive line for the last 30 years. And, you know, we've had years where they haven't been that great. But, you know, there's always been every drive where they can give you a five-stepper or a three-stepper and, like, get some consistency there. Like, guys, we need this, you know? And because they know what is needed, they can deliver, right? And that in itself can make a good offensive line where it's like, maybe we're not the best offensive line, but, you know, when we need that five-step drop, we can,
well, we
can
work
deliver
really well
and get
together.
The blocks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something to that. I don't doubt it. I don't just, you know, I think – it's hard when you could see repeated mistakes like we saw earlier in the year, but with playing together, got to think that play that feeds into some of the improved play we've seen. I don't think that's the reason, but I think it contributes. I don't think there's any doubt there. The last point on the offensive side, Jordan Love, he keeps showing progress, man. And I hate that, you know, those two interceptions towards the end of the game really color his performance poorly in Pittsburgh, whereas I thought that was his finest performance to date. You know what I mean? Like, and I think a big part of that is because the offensive line performed well and he really was allowed time to go through progressions and get the ball out in rhythm. And the receivers obviously made plays for him, you know, outside of that one to Watson that ended up in the tip drill interception. But man, that's a quarterback looking much more comfortable than he was, say, even four games ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know naysayers, the cynics, they're going to poke holes in every single aspect of his game, which, hey, that's their right. I get it. But, man, as someone who really hopes Jordan Love succeeds, Sunday was a real promising step. And I'm excited to see him now come back against the Chargers on Sunday in Lambeau, hopefully in friendlier confines, right? And pick up where he left off, because he was in command of the offense in a way I haven't seen all season long. And that's exciting.
Well, I agree with that. I think that part of the optimizing our normalization and resetting what we have to do is we have been spoiled by a quarterback who was superhuman when it came to interceptions. There has never been, nor will there probably ever be a quarterback like we have seen with Aaron Rodgers when it comes to intercepting the ball. The reality in the NFL is that every great quarterback, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Tom Brady, they all threw interceptions at worst possible moments, and that was just part of their game. And that's just what it is when you take the certain risks that you take. So it is hard to have those happen, but at the same time, I think we got to reset and really understand that that's, you know, we're going to have to overcome an interception here and there, you know, ideally not more than one, but, you know, it's just that's the nature of football as it exists, and we have lived in a world that didn't live in that world. We lived in a fairy world for a little while, and now we got to come back. We got to come back in
reality. We got to come back to Earth.
You know, the NFL.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. I mean, that's how the Packers have won so many games over the course of Rodgers' tenure. You know, you win the turnover battle. Well, it's real easy to win the turnover battle when you're not giving the ball away via interception, which the Packers rarely did when Rodgers was under center. It's very, very true. Flipping over to the defensive side of the ball, man, okay, we'll talk about a lot of different aspects when it comes to the defense, but just starting with up front on some of these plays, man, what a mess. Ben Fennell put this together. I want to show this real quick. Watch the defensive tackles, like, basically kind of slant on some of these run plays. And obviously the backer is supposed to kind of come flying over and kind of replace where into the gap, so to speak. Just roll this because it's so disheartening. Look at, look, you got Kenny contributing, going one way, back, huge. Like, now we got taking yourself out of a gap. Somebody's supposed to fill. Looks like Campbell there. Nobody's there. Huge gain. Touchdown. Here we've got TJ Slayton slanting to the left. I mean, Campbell, I guess, is supposed to go down there and fill that gap, but he gets blocked by the lineman coming up to the second level. I mean, that was rampant. And I get everyone. We do it on watch party. I do it all the time. The too high shell thing. It drives me insane. And you saw them adjust in the second half. They brought a safety down into the box, which helped a little bit. Didn't completely shut things down, but it helped a little bit. But, man, nothing you do on the back end is going to matter if that's not married up front in a much more cohesive way. I'm not sure if you know, how much of that is the call, how much of that is guys just completely not executing? Because you heard Matt talk about that on Monday, the lack of execution. You can, you know, talk about the front, talk about what the hell they're called, whether the linemen or outside backers or whatever. But man, if you're doing that down in and down out, I don't give a shit what the hell your personnel groupings are, because that's just, you're literally watching guys take themselves out of a play repeatedly. And it doesn't matter which guy you're talking about.
Let's talk about run defense and how we're set up in the last 30 years, because I do think this matters. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We, the Packers, have never, well, not never, but in the last 30 or so years, you can take the 1996 right. Packers out of this, right? Mm-hmm. The entire strategy for our offense, and tell me if I'm wrong, but our idea is that we are going to get up by two scores and you are going to have to pass against us, right? And
yes.
Because of that, right?
Predominantly, that has been the MO, yes.
And so what happens when that's your MO, right? That's a strategy, right? That's not a tactic. That's a strategy, right? And that's like a 30,000-foot view, right? You're like, I got Hall of Fame quarterbacks, so they're going to get me. They're going to win me the coin toss on offense. I'm going to get up on my score. I'm going to be able to score at will, you know, somewhat. And my defense is just going to have to pretty much play bend but don't break. And you know what? If they run over me like they did last weekend, it doesn't matter because I'm up on scores. And so I'm just saying strategically, that's who we are. And that's why, you know, you can't all of a sudden turn an entire offense you've been building for 20 or 30 years. We're talking Ted Thompson into Brian Gutekunst. You know, it's like, because I was thinking about this. I was like, why don't, you know, with the exception of like Nick Barnett, Clay Matthews, A.J. Hawk, Quay Walker, right? It's always our middle linebacker who's a tackler. And then everybody else could care less about tackling on the Packers, like especially on the defense, right? And I feel like on this team, it's like Kenny and Quay. Right. And last year it was Devondre Campbell, but this year Devondre Campbell has zero interest in tackling, right? Zero. Like, it's like, no. I'm going to push you out of bounds or I'm going to push you over, whatever. But, like, you know, there's something to be said for when you're so used to having an offense like we've had. There's something to be said for the type of guys you try to develop and get, which is why I think we don't have a lot of good tacklers on our team. And that's why I think it's gap protection, everything you're talking about, right? But at the end of the day, we do not – name five guys on our team that are good at tackling.
I can't. You're asking for too much.
I know. Quay Walker, Kenny Clark.
Quay Walker's a good tackler. That's
– TJ Slayton.
Well, not – I mean – they're not really asking TJ to tackle
Preston
too much as
Smith.
Opposed to like take up space and create havoc in the backfield.
I'm just making shit up here. Like, who else, right? Jair used to be really good at tackling, but he don't care no more.
Well, now he's not. No, he don't tackle now. He makes business decisions. I mean, I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. And yes, that's the design of it, right? You're going to get up and you're going to create turnovers because they're going to have to throw the ball, etc. And it's the old Mike Pettin quote where he said, you know, it's faster to fly to Miami than it is to walk there, or whatever the hell it was he said, meaning, you know, you want to defend the pass. And it's clear that's what Joe Barry prescribes. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to make sure they don't throw the ball. But here's the thing. Like, you still have to execute as a player. You're still being asked to do certain things. You still have to try to do that. You don't just throw your hands up and say, well, we're not, that's not the strategy. We're not designed to do that. Like, you're still a professional football player. You know what I mean? So,
oh yeah, like, totally. But I'm just saying there is a percentage of, like, you know, like it's like Dungeons and Dragons or RPG games, right? You have so many abilities, right? And then you get your certain abilities you can focus on, right? You can be like, oh hey, I'm going to focus on my fighter, and he's going to have strength and dexterity, but that means his intelligence is going to be low, right? And so there's going to be
He's
because he's not a mage or whatever. So it's like, hey, I'm going to choose a linebacker that has speed over, you know, so like if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're you're getting guys the tackle, right? That's just your MO, right? Oh, because yeah. like you probably don't have a great quarterback, even when you had idiot Roethlisberger. You know, you don't have the greatest quarterback in the world, and like, you know, you're gonna be battling, you're gonna be playing field goal games, and it's like, I know people are like, that's ages ago, but we have the same exact scouting ideas, strategies, intellect, intelligence that we have had for 30 years. You can say that, right? 1993 to now, there are a lot more similar things. Yes, there's a through line, there's an objective, there's a spine, and I'm not giving, it's not an excuse, it's just like we're so used to watching our run defense. If we have to have run defense, you know it's going to be a bad day for the Green Bay Packers. You just know.
Correct.
You know.
Correct.
Even when Barry Sanders was playing, bro, like you knew, oh shit, okay, we're going to suck, so we're just going to have to get up on them.
Except
like,
for that one playoff game where they held him to negative 2 yards. Hell yeah, true. Baby. I'm going to hang my hat on that.
It's a rarity, though. And I also think we were up most of that game, by the way.
It's a very rare moment, no doubt. But yes, no, you're correct. You're absolutely correct as far as like the design and the strategy and why they have struggled and the types of players they bring in. And that's a whole nother conversation. And that kind of leads to our old friend, the disconnected triangle. You know, like we got a lot of athletes and we keep putting them in positions where I guess their athleticism isn't getting guys on the ground. I don't know what you expect when you get guys who aren't great tacklers out of college and they get to the pros and it's like, well, there's no time to teach tackling here. There isn't.
Well, and I wonder if Ted, because of his background, was a little better at getting tacklers, right? Because I feel like he had a better track record on tacklers. He didn't have the greatest one, but it's when it came to linebackers, he definitely chose ball players over athleticism, I feel like. And I wonder if Brian really does that.
I think later in the draft he did, but I don't know. We'd have to go back and do a deep dive study on it, definitely. I will say, though, now, look, everything we just said, I want to give a shout-out to those two young corners, Valentine and Ballantyne, the new law firm in Green Bay, because they really battled. And you talk about two guys who are going to get thrown at. And look, they didn't have a great quarterback thrown at them last week, but they had some really talented receivers, you know, especially like 2 weeks ago and then this past week. I thought Ballantyne in particular, you saw him take his lumps early. He did not get down on himself. He did not go into any kind of funk. He absolutely had the right kind of cornerback mentality where, all right, I'm going to go win the next play, right? You saw him have the big pass breakup on third down, things of that nature. That's what you want. And look, while Jair is out, let's go. Give me more of that. Like, we got to get these guys in the fire, and they're going to be in the fire this week against the Chargers. And I'm all for it. This is the year, right? Like, if there's a year where these guys are going to take their lumps, I want it to happen in 2023. And I thought they did a really nice job, again, against some pretty talented dudes. So just a shout out to them because I thought they had a nice game. And then, funny enough, the last point here on the defense, Corey, you kind of already touched on it. No one wants to tackle. Like, you got to find willing tacklers. Man, there just doesn't seem to be anybody on this defense who relishes contact, who like desires contact, who wants to put a hit on somebody. There's a lot of guys who throw shoulders. There's a lot of guys who dive at feet, but I don't see people who like want to light somebody up. And I get there are injury concerns. I get there are concerns about the rules and the flags that might come with it, etc. But man, I want somebody who wants to put a hurt on somebody. This is still a violent game played by violent men. And right now, almost every week, you can set your watch by the fact that the opponent is going to be more violent than the Packers. And that's got to change. And I'm not saying it's going to magically happen this year, right? But man, you're going to live in this world where you do throw a few more interceptions. You're not going to be running away from people on the scoreboard. You got to find some tough-ass dudes. Because right now, that just is not their ID at all. And it's noticeable week after week after week.
Yep.
Exactly. Let's take a quick look at this Chargers-Packers game. Corey Banky, the Chargers are coming into Lambeau 3-point favorites. You can check it out there on FanDuel Sportsbook or any other sportsbook.
Whatever.
3-point favorites into Lambeau Field. Hate it. Although, I love a good home dog. Home underdog. I'm all about it. Let's go.
I mean,
let's do it.
If you, it is gold package, so Although it is a nooner, so, you know.
The nooner,
I mean,
is what really
you got to give the other team 3 points just if it's gold package, in my opinion.
Oh, boy. Send the letters to Corey, not to me. The Chargers have tight end Gerald Everett and Keenan Allen, their all-pro wide receiver, are both supposedly day-to-day. I'll be surprised if Allen doesn't play. Who knows on Everett? The backs are always tricky, but Allen suffered a shoulder injury in that game against Detroit and still put up like 170 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, he's going to be a problem. He will be a problem, no doubt about it. And then this is a final note on this game. I didn't realize this. The pure dominance of the Green Bay Packers over the then San Diego Chargers, now Los Angeles Chargers. Green Bay holds a 10-2 record against the Chargers, including 4-1 at home.
I don't remember losing to them at home.
I don't remember the loss at home either.
Also, the Chargers always kind of sucked, so it's not completely surprising.
But you see, my whole perception is colored by the fact that last time we went out there, the Chargers kicked our ass. Like, Bosa just ran over us. Like, that's kind of where my head was at. So, because I'll never forget it. It was when Z got a sack out at the Chargers game, and he did the Gravedigger. And which was awesome, and I remember losing my mind, but then I was like, wow, wait till we're at Lambeau. But that was dope. But it was one of the rare highlights from that game because they got their ass kicked. Green Bay just owns the Chargers. So let's do it. Let's hold that up. Let's keep that going. Time for the Deion Sanders quote of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Doesn't Texas A&M fire their this coach week, Friday?
Friday night, baby. And you know what, Corey? Don't ask him about possible openings other places like Texas A&M, who just fired their coach, because this is what he's going to tell you. Here's his quote. I want to win. I want to win a game. So you think I really do sit down and think about that kind of stuff? No, coach, we don't.
He definitely does.
He wants to win. He's focused.
He thinks about it. What's his record right now? He's won like 3 games, right?
Oh, they started out, 3-0? I think they've dropped to 4-6. It's not good.
Oof.
It's not good.
Man,
it's not
better than the Packers.
They got a big matchup Friday night, but not looking good. Not looking good for old Coach Prime in his rookie campaign with Colorado. But a lot of ball game left.
I do think it would be funny. He's so surprising that, and I do agree he's never going to coach in the NFL, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he immediately coaches in the NFL next year. Just because he's that guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's just going to 180.
The Cardinals.
Don't care. 270.
The Cardinals one and done their dude and hire Prime. Like, I 100% would not be surprised. I'm with you. I am with you in that I don't think it's going to happen, but I also would not be surprised. All right, let's go. Let's do it. Hit it, Trevor.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we here at Packer Transplants used to end every show with just a classic bit of video where Mike McCarthy told Jason Wilde that he was not in the mood for drama tonight. One Jason Wilde found himself back in the crosshairs of a coach earlier this week. Asking about the nickel defense, 2 down linemen, and who, baby, Coach had had a response, and thanks to Tyler Herrick for cutting this up because it was a bit long and ummy and a lot of pausing, and Tyler has kind of tightened it up. Let's take a look at Coach talking about not saying two down linemen when talking about nickel defense.
There were a couple instances where you guys were in nickel with the two down linemen, and there were a couple breaks.
That is baffling to me. When people talk nickel defense and they talk about two down linemen, because I don't know what that means.
True down linemen, you've got two inside linebackers.
So outside linebackers, just so you know how us in this profession view outside linebackers, when you go to nickel defense, they are defensive ends. Okay. And we have some of the bigger outside linebackers in this league. So I think it's comical when I hear people talk about, oh, they have two down linemen. I'm like, to me, people are exposing themselves when they say that. Like, there's four defensive linemen on the field. When we play teams, 3-4 defense is not something new, right? That is our base defense. But when you go nickel defense, those outside linebackers become defensive ends. And the way we always judge it is, would you want a running back blocking that guy? Would you want a running back blocking Preston Smith? Would you want a running back blocking Rashawn Gary? The answer is usually no. So they are defensive linemen.
Okay, Captain Scamandis.
I mean, I will say, here's the thing, and I know you put this on Twitter, but like, I always thought, and I'm not very smart at football necessarily, I know enough to be dangerous, but ever since we made the shift to 3-4, right, which was with Dom Capers, correct? Where we went from a 4-3, so it's the biggest shift we made in our defense in our history, to be honest with you, because we ran a 4-3 for a very, very long time. We're one of the last teams to continue running a 4-3. And so my always thinking was like your outside linebackers on a 3-4 become defensive linemen, even though they're linebackers in some situations, which is why I always use them as that, except for, in my head, the middle linebacker. The middle linebacker stays a linebacker. So I don't know. I literally always thought this, and I was funny because in the watch party I would get corrected. But one time I was wrong because somebody was asking about defensive linemen and I brought up Quay. But like, yeah, I mean, it's right. It's like if Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith are considered your outside linebackers, those are defensive linemen for all intensive, you know, uses of the word.
Okay, I have two thoughts on this. I get what you're saying there, and I understand Matt's response to this. And my whole thing was, if there's two levels here, like, first, he's derailing the conversation on purpose, right? Like, because Wildy's talking about their run defense getting run over and through and whatever, and Matt turns it into
well,
that's like Dom Draper,
Peter Bukowski did.
You don't like what they're saying, change the conversation, which is exactly what he does there, which is fine. It's his prerogative, it's his podium. I get
it's his press conference.
My thing was so you understand that the people outside the building are lay people. Like, there's nobody here saying that, like, we're in the building. We know what you call things. We go by what we see, which is literally two guys with their hands in the dirt. You can call those guys on the outside defensive linemen, but they're standing up. So when someone says the words two down linemen, that's literal. There are literally two men who are down. And that's my thing. It's like, okay, fine. We're not in the building. We don't know your terminology. But to that point also, at the end of last season.
But Jason Wilde is in the building, though.
Well, I mean, in the building, like in the meeting rooms. You know what I mean. You know what
I know,
mean.
But I'm just saying, of all the people, like, it's not like a TV person, right? It's like the beat writers, which technically Jason is not a beat writer anymore, but he's still treated by 1265 as if he is part of the beat, right?
Right. Well, he's not part of the beat, but he doesn't do as much writing anymore. He does much more radio, but he still writes.
I consider the people that do the minutia.
Right.
So Wes, Ryan, you know, Pete can even be in there, but Pete's more of a columnist. But again, Pete's kind of like grandfathered in a little bit. Jason's kind of grandfathered in, right? Bill, Matt Schneidman, right? It's very limited. Rob, right? It's a very limited group of people that actually I would consider on the beat. Like, there's the secondary beat, right? Which is like everybody else that gets in the media room. But like, you know, Jason's kind of grandfathered into the beat. So I can see, I mean, look, Matt LaFleur does not want to talk about his defense getting run over, and he don't give a shit. He doesn't want to talk about it.
Correct.
And I would be, dude, that is right. I would have the, if I was, see, you know what? I would only want to be coach, but I wouldn't actually coach. I would just do press conferences. Like my job, would right. just answer, you know how, like, you know how Angry Obama, the Angry Obama sketch, like Key
yep,
and Peele?
The translator.
I would want mm-hmm. to be the Matt LaFleur. I'm Matt LaFleur's press conference guy, right? I'm his there body man.
Yep.
I'm his body man. Yep. And I, dude, it would be so much fun to just go up. I would be so nervous, but it would be so much fun to go up to the podium and like basically have the beat writers like ask questions, but like to me, but they were asking them to Matt, but then I would translate for Matt. That would be fun. Actually, we should do a sketch about that. That would be fun.
There you
where,
go.
We can have Tom Grossi new... beat. Tom Grossi be Matt LaFleur, and then I'll be Matt LaFleur's right. translator.
You're the translator.
Yeah, and then you'll perfect. Be all the voices of the beat. Or I'll be the voices yep. of the beat, because then it'll be really annoying, and then that way people can tell me how bad my impersonations are, because it's always fun.
Not even close. Not even close. No, it's good. I understand it. I get what you're saying. I just thought it was funny. I mean, it's mostly just a diversionary tactic by being pedantic. Which, hey, like I said, it's his podium. That's what you want to do. I get it. One other thing we did want to point out this week on the Packer blogosphere, the Make-A-Wish Wisconsin put this up over on Facebook. You absolutely love to see this. Raising $2,000 more for Make-A-Wish Wisconsin at the Packers game from two field goals. And their friend Richard Kessler donating $1,000 for every field goal for kids like Jax to get their wishes come true. Meeting Jordan Love. This is awesome. And I also wanted to highlight, I shared this on my Facebook page, and one of my followers had this to say. I absolutely love this from Jesse Huber. The real purpose of football to me is actually this. It's an asset to our communities, and a very powerful one at that. We want the Packers to win, duh. But at the end of the day, whether we win the Super Bowl or don't win a game, it still boils down to this. That is outstanding. And I completely agree. Like, and I get there are going to be lots and lots of cynics. Corey, perhaps you're one of them, who say, oh, they're a $1 billion business, they're doing this for marketing, and there is definitely truth to that. But I will say the community is what makes the team go. And the touchstone of community is what I find the most important. So I just love to see that.
I agree with this. I think that having experienced 1265 up close now for the last 2 years or so, kind of
literally
on COVID, I would mm-hmm. say that 95% of the people that work at 1265 believe that the community really owns the team as they do, and their job as a brand is to be for the community. So that's a really high percentage. I wish that percentage was higher, and I know that a lot of people in that building wish that percentage was 100%. So yeah, I'm not a cynic, but you know, if Carlson doesn't miss, that's another $1,000, by the way.
This is from 2 weeks ago, sir. But anyway, let's take a look at the. We got some YouTube chats. Some people on the old Tubbs that want to chat, want to stuff. They got to say, get off their chest when it comes to the green and gold.
Yeah, I got some of those. Dusty Lawson, thanks for super chat. Going to be celebrating my birthday today by cracking a carry the G after work. Go Pack, go!
Let's go, Dusty! Happy birthday!
Dusty, you're celebrating your birthday better than I celebrated mine, so kudos to you, buddy. The Well Hungarian, guys, in your opinion, what is the absolute weakest position group on this current Packers team? Interesting.
Weakest position group. It's always so interesting. People go negative with these questions. Weakest position.
I know what mine is.
I want to say tight end simply because
I was going to say tight end. I was going to say tight end. They suck. They suck so bad. Like we're like, Musgrave, you're coming up, bro. You can't even walk, bro. You can't even walk right. Like you can't even fucking run a route. You catch the ball and you fall down. Somebody runs in a fucking motion and they can't fucking block anybody. It's like we have the worst tight end group in the world, dude. Worst. I guess they can only go up from here. But yeah, definitely tight ends.
Well stated, Corey.
A fucking Musgrave can't even do a Lambo leap. You get a touchdown and you can't do a Lambo leap, bro. Like, you can't even walk. Like, you can't walk without falling down. How many times has Musgrave fucking
part of the analysis? I know, I know. I just love that.
How many times? Every time. What, that he didn't do a Lambo leap?
Doesn't do a Lambo leap, enters into the analysis of how well he played.
You get one touchdown and you can't even do a Lambo leap, bro. Come on. It's really the blocking, though. Like, the blocking is just atrocious. It's atrocious.
It's gotten a little better, but it's still pretty bad.
Yeah. Man, DeGuara. Somebody cut DeGuara. Why is he on our team? Yeah. Why is Josiah DeGuara on this fucking Packers team? Why? He sucks.
Because Tyler Davis got hurt in the summer. If Tyler Davis doesn't get hurt in training camp, I'll bet they move on from DeGuara. But
He sucks so bad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't mean to talk shit about people. I'm sorry, Josiah DeGuara. I like you as a person. But you got to go.
He's not good. Yeah, I agree.
Mike had my very first ever carry the G in Wisconsin Rapids. Wow.
Let's go. People carrying the G. Let's do it, people. Loving it.
You guys are okay, but you're not Jim and Max. Are you? That's hilarious.
Who would be Jim and Max? Like Jim and Max, that's like comparing like the heavens to like a alleyway here in New York City. Like, you know, we're not Jim and Max. We never will be Jim and Max. No one will ever be Jim and Max.
Jim and Max.
We're not Jim and Max. Jim and Max is like the pinnacle. It's the best. It will never get that good ever again.
Musgrave is better than DeGuara, but that's saying a lot. And I do think Musgrave's going to get better, so I don't think Musgrave sucks. He just, you know, our tight ends, you ask the weakest position, that's who it. Peter Oliver Parkour. Yeah. Hello from Bordeaux, France.
Well, hello, Peter
What's
Oliver.
What's up, France? Bordeaux. What do you mean
What's
fake
up, Bordeaux?
Okay, I can't read the chats. I can't do this anymore. Well,
stop reading the chat.
I like the icons. He's got a football and a cheese icon. I like that.
And a cheese wedge.
I like it.
They know
I
cheese
like
in
it.
France.
I like
know.
It. Uncultured Barbarian. I wonder how fans of today complaining about Love would have handled Randy Wright, Blair Keel, Anthony Dilwegg, and Mike Tomczak. Hell, my first QB was probably Carlos Brown. Yeah, I'm old. Oh, what about
uncultured?
Soder's
I'll tell you how.
What about David fucking Whitehurst?
David Whitehurst.
He's the greatest quarterback.
Corey, you didn't respond. I tagged you in that post where they had somebody had put up video from a game in 1978
with
David Whitehurst. No. David Whitehurst was literally tackled or sacked more times than he completed passes. 10 sacks to 7 completions.
Poor guy. Wasn't Forrest Gregg his coach?
Weyers. I'm trying to remember.
Forrest Gregg his coach? I think Forrest Gregg was his coach. Because, I mean, what is the – if Forrest Gregg was his coach, what is the
No, it would have been Star. I think it would have been Star. It would have been Star.
Seems ironic. I'm sure Forrest Gregg was going to weigh in if he's still on. Soder's probably bored with us. So, if it was Forrest Gregg, what is the irony of that? That's very ironic.
No, it was Star. It was Star.
Star lines up in the field, and he's got it. That's 13 world. JP, 3-6 record plus gold package plus Chargers don't really have a fan base. Tickets should be pretty cheap for anyone wanting to go to Lambeau this Sunday. Yes. Little secret for all you Packer fans, okay? Okay, seriously, I had friends who came to see the game. This happened twice while we've had stuff this year. It's kind of a great year to go see the Packers, to be honest with you. Wait until game day. Go on Ticketmaster or, you know, on Packers.com app and go on the thing. The thingamabob. Wait until, like, the flyover, and you can literally get tickets for, like, $30. It's crazy. It's crazy town. It's crazy town out there. Bart Starr was the coach. That's what he thought, Nagler. Yeah. Uncultured, thanks for the super chat. Today, on a bonus Brandy and the Barbarian, they discuss whether Joe Barry should be fired out of a catapult or a trebuchet into Lake Michigan. I vote trebuchet. Trebuchets are a lot cooler than catapults, in my opinion. So, yeah.
Agreed. Although the catapult has a high-end, like, Looney Tunes vibe, so I'll go with that.
Sean Gallagher's got doubled super chats back to back, and I believe this is a pound sign. So thank you from London or England. Sorry, I know everybody from England isn't from London. But zero aggression or swagger in the D for years. Mike Daniel tried to introduce it but failed. No aggression, poor technique, poor discipline. Yeah, it's a broken fucking record. And then Sean Gallagher again from Scotland. Oh, Scotland. Snaps pro. Came from Scotland to see the Packers get battered from the Chargers in L.A. It was still glorious to see those green and gold jerseys in the flesh again. Good times.
Yes, sir.
Good times.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, Ticket King. Yeah, no, Ticket King. I hear you. But the problem is Ticket King is great, but you have to order ahead of time on Ticket King. I think it's harder to get the same day with the things, right, Nagler? Like, I don't know. I need to order on Ticket King. Can you get last seconds on Ticket? I know you can, but I think you have to go to Ticket King to pick them up typically, right?
Or no, do they transfer them? You can do it on your phone. You can transfer it. It's secondary market, though. The way Corey's talking about it is direct, which is faster.
Yeah, well, only because the directs, people get desperate, so they want to like get rid of them. But yes, our friends at Ticket King have amazing deals. Not hating on that. It's just crazy how with the Packers sucking so bad, the little tricks of the trade. Uncultured Barbarian. Right. Back in the 80s in high school, our coach got our defensive ends named to the all-conference team as linebackers. We ran a 5-2. He lied and told them it was a 3-4. Same old coach speak bullshit.
Oh, that's good. That is good. Of all 5-2. I mean, ultimately.
8-7-1 in 1978 with David Whitehurst.
Wow. With David Whitehurst. I remember watching.
William James. God help me. So, when Preston Smith on the slot receiver, is he an end or slot corner? Slot corner. For sure.
Corner.
For sure. Thanks for the super chat.
I desperately wanted to text that to Matt, but I didn't.
MLF exposed himself. Down linemen have their hand on the ground by definition. That's the definition. Not would you want a running back blocking him? Maybe. I mean, you know.
He's just talking about terminology.
Rules were meant to be broken, people. Rules are meant to be broken. Okay. Thomas Davison, thanks for the super chat. Can we put Barry on a raft, give him a quick trip gift card, a kiss on the cheek, and send him down the Fox River, put flower wreath around him. Good luck on your soft shell journey. Q Warhorn. Bye.
Q Warhorn.
No, I always. I thought,
but does that mean he's going to get picked up by the Vikings? Like, what's happening?
Well, I thought they were going to do like the arrow thing, where it's like let him go, and then you do the fire arrows.
Shoot the flaming arrow, and it hits the barge, and he goes up in flames, and then adieu. Yeah, there we go. I'm down with that.
Bye bye.
Okay, to be clear, we are not advocating physical harm to Joe Barry.
For no, all no, I thought that's what the super chat was going to be.
On
I thought that's
the internet.
What the super chat
I know. I did too. Like, and I advocate for it in an imaginary way. I'm not saying really do that. That's all I'm trying to clarify.
Late to the chat, was at the game in Pittsburgh and loved a lot of what I saw from Love. That Dylan Heisep was epic as well. Charm City Cheesehead, thanks for that. Not a super chat, but I thought that was interesting chat. Jeff Smith, definite growth this week. Very competitive against a solid, well-coached team on the road. DeGuara whiff big. Just needed one more TD instead of a field goal. Jeff Smith with the positivity. That is not something I thought was going to happen today. I'm going to be honest with you. When I woke up today, I did not think that Jeff Smith was going to be
positive.
Jeff Smith
being positive was on your bingo card? It was not there?
Like, no.
Although,
Jeff was on happy hour last night, and he was very positive. Yeah. He was very positive last night.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you guys. Sorry I missed happy hour. I was actually a judge for Game on Green Bay, the first ever Game on Green Bay. It was pretty cool. It was at Northeastern Technical College, Northeast Wisconsin Technical College, NWTC, over on Mason Street. It was really cool. It was all these kids who – it was like four teams of kids, and they got a game theme on Saturday, and in 3 days they had to make a game – like a full-on video game around the theme Momentum. And then there were two indie showcases, and I was basically there all day. It was really cool. Really cool to see in Green Bay. It's the first time that they've ever done it. And it's part of Startup Week Wisconsin. And also, for those of you that are in Green Bay, tomorrow night, there's a bunch of Startup Week stuff this week. But tomorrow night, there is a huge – we're producing a pitch event, the Audible pitch event. It's going to be at the Cannery downtown. It's open to everyone. And it's a bunch of startups basically pitching their stuff. I'm not a judge coverage there, but we're going to be streaming it. So really cool stuff. But yeah, sorry, I missed happy hour. Johnny Rivers, thanks for the super chat. Do you think people are upset with Love because they're spoiled, or is it misplaced anger that Goody blew up a good team to trade up for him?
He didn't blow up a team. He made a trade because he saw value. The idea that whatever that fourth rounder would have been, or if he had picked someone other than Jordan Love, they would have gone to the Super Bowl is just completely misplaced. And I understand that you probably, there's a section of the fan base that thinks, oh, if they would have done that, they would have had a better chance of getting to the Super Bowl because they're still building with Rodgers as opposed to looking to the future. We'll never know. I disagree with that sentiment. I think we all know it is bad luck that the all-pro left tackle hurt himself in a practice on New Year's Eve day, and that has affected everything since. You know, it's like I understand the desire to blame Gutekunst.
Hypothetically.
Yeah.
Was there, and this is funny because you brought the left tackle, was there a left tackle available in the draft we drafted Jordan Love?
I'd have to look.
Alternate universe that exists where we took a offensive lineman in the first round, and maybe we do win a Super Bowl.
Traditionally, the first round tackles go earlier than that, but you never know. I'd have to go back and look. But no, I mean, I think yes, there's misplaced anger at a lot of people. I mean, not just hell. There are people who would say there is misplaced anger from us, Corey and myself, at Aaron Rodgers. You know, that we can all sit here and look at people and say, oh, you're angry about the wrong thing. Anger is an emotion, right? And that is a very personal thing. And I understand.
People could say I had misplaced anger at Josiah DeGuara.
Exactly. Yeah, but I think but you can't help but be spoiled having watched Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers for 30 years. You have gotten used to a certain standard, I think, as a Packers fan, where this season has probably been a jolt to the system. I don't think that's telling tales out of school. I think that's pretty fair, you know? I get people being angry at Goot. That's human. I got no problem with it. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. That's all.
I mean, my only hope is that his decision put us in a place where we're only going to have two shitty seasons as opposed to six.
Or as opposed to 20. I mean, that's the other thing.
But let's start with six.
Would you rather be the Saints? I know, I hear you. But would you rather be the Saints? Would you rather be the Dolphins? You know, there's these teams. Or the Broncos? You know, these teams that have been searching in the wilderness forever trying to find another quarterback. You know, the Broncos obviously went and did hell and high water for Peyton Manning, rode a defense to a championship with a guy who could barely throw. But, you know, the Saints have pretty much mortgaged everything trying to get back with Drew Brees, and that's what Packers fans wanted. You know, and the Packers said, no, we're going to look to the future. You can argue for both approaches, but I much prefer what the Packers have done. That's just me.
Jeff Smith, Corey, laughing my ass off. Sorry to surprise you. Well, yeah, because you're usually choosing violence in the happy hour, so that's why I'm surprised. Jocelyn, thanks for super chat. Isaiah Wilson was the first offensive tackle taken after Love. So had we had Isaiah Wilson, would we have won a Super Bowl?
I'm not so sure. I'm not convinced. Let's put it that way.
Well, there you go.
Is that it?
That's all I got.
Are we through? Are we done? Is that everything?
We did it.
I love it. Want to give a shout out to all our Patreon members, the lifeblood of Cheesehead TV. Cannot thank you enough. Really appreciate all the support. Like we said, happy hour was last night. It's a lot of fun. If you want to join us, head to patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. I want to give a special shout out to John Vandenboom, who became the latest, greatest associate producer here on Packer Transplants. Really appreciate the support, John. Thank you so much for signing up and joining us and really getting behind what we do here at Cheesehead TV. Also, great big-time shout-out to the Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. You guys are amazing, and you continue to grow. We really appreciate you coming here every Sunday, Monday night, Thursday night, whenever the Packers are playing. and kind of hanging out with us during watch parties. Big, big part of the brand, everything we're doing. Thank you so much. You got anything else, Corey, before we head out into the evening?
Nope, I do not.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank each and every one of you who makes Cheesehead TV part of your daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.